My presentation this morning is on the solar corridor. I'm proposing the solar corridor model that might be used as a basic component to maximize organic crop production. It offers a different approach, and we'll propose a model that enables a mature chloroplast to maximize the catalytic value of solar radiation, encourages microbiological biodiversity, and reduces the potential for soil erosion. It proposes a paradigm shift in how we select varieties and how we develop the architectural properties of the crop canopy. Let's see now. For some reason this, okay. Okay, at first the clicker didn't work, didn't move the slide. But here is the picture. This illustrates what the solar corridor is. What we're doing is we find that in current way of planting crops, dense planting practices, sunlight reaching the lower leaves of the plant is limiting. We hypothesized that if we could enable a mature chloroplast of specific cultivars to access more incident sunlight, we would increase the potential to produce photosynthesis. And this model certainly develops those properties that enable light to reach each leaf on the corn plant. Since each leaf is a potential source of photosynthesis, that's where the mature chloroplasts reside, at least in the lower leaves, then this model should increase photosynthesis and potential crop yield if we do the other things correctly. Now, we know that most of our yield comes from photosynthesis, and certainly photosynthesis is an organic process. So that's why the title of this presentation, and it certainly photosynthesis is the first event that occurs when the new leaf emerges. And photosynthesis surely could be called the heart of an organic production process. Now, who am I to argue with Loomis, who says that 90% of the plant productivity is sourced in carbon-based photosynthetic compounds? And I certainly think that's correct. And the solar corridor production system is designed to nurture and grow the process of photosynthesis. Now, to the extent that we have the photosynthetic source supplies available in sufficient quantity, the genetically directed enzymes drive subsequent plant growth. And the rate and duration that occurs equals the yield of photosynthetic products, and that's governed by the law of the minimum. You know, it goes to whatever the most limiting factor, and then the value of input A is a function of inputs B through Z. That's what I mean by making varieties, the right varieties selections to complement each other. And certainly this is a paradigm shift with corn rows spaced this far apart, but it does enable, it enables a biocapture of more CO2 per plant for biosynthesis into the photosynthate-based compounds. But then, if in this configuration, then we have 30 inches of space there available to grow a shorter symbiotic crop on the vacated row that completes this peak demand for sunlight before the corn plant begins its increasing demand for that light. And of course, we know that if we have the chloroplast in the chlorophyll molecule in the green leaf, that's a factory of where we are able to capture sunlight as the energy catalyst. And of course, the CO2 is kind of external source, is feedstock for the process, and H2O is an internal source. And then we produce, of course, the simple sugars and Then depending on the crop species, then we go to complex sugars. But in case of corn, you know, that would be range from amylopectin starch on up to lignocellulose, or would be the complex sugars. And at any rate, that's as far as I need to go on that. But that's the process that I think should be, that's the process I'm attempting to maximize. And we just repeat there, as we see, we know those are the benefits on the screen of what we can get. But the bottom bullet point there is the key, is that cultivar and variety selection is site-specific. Production inputs then become variety-specific. This is, in this system that I've proposed here, is it's very, very, very selective on the, for the varieties. So let's take a look at our treatment we had. We looked at what kind of yields we were able to do with this. We had four hybrids, four plant populations, three replication, randomized block, split, split plot design. The first split was by hybrid, the second split by plant population. Had two row width entries. Our control was 30-inch rows, our treatment 60-inch rows. And this study was conducted on north-south rows. North-south row, that's key in this, on Elliott Ashcombe silty clay loam soil at 40.44 north latitude. Now, these are the results we got. I just have one slide of the results, but there's a lot in this slide. What it said was all the hybrids together in the first bar didn't like the solar quarter. Of course, you know, that shouldn't be any great surprise that it yielded less with the wide rows. And then, but it's even worse than that when we took out hybrid D out of the all hybrids, is that, you know, it just yielded less with all the hybrids. But hybrid D, which was Prairie Stream 702, certainly liked having extra light for those lower leaves. And I believe there are many hybrids out there like that. Well, not many, but not a high, very high percentage, but there are hybrids out there like that most anywhere you go in the Corn Belt. And the fact is, we are able to produce as much corn or more corn in a single row at 60-inch wide in this particular environment. The floor crop was not counted in this, so we used total crop per acre yield as if the floor crop was non-existent there. Now, but that just says, of course, if you, those wide rows, most hybrids, a terrible, terrible idea, but if you choose hybrids, it works. And so the summary of that says that increased productivity can be achieved, especially if we go look at the solar quarter floor crop, the wheat and clover, but that's beyond the scope of this presentation. That's beyond the scope of my capability, as a matter of fact. But sunlight is made available to more chloroplasts to produce more carbohydrates to meet sink demand through physiologic maturity. That's all pretty straightforward. And we do need to develop the site-specific supporting practices to maximize the benefits of this system. And that is no small matter. It's no small job. But what we do get increased yield and increased carbon sequestration if we take the other crop, the solar quarter floor crop on the row that was vacated by the missing corn row. And we do have reduced lodging. Certainly we have reduced lodging. Now that hybrid D, Prairie Stream 702, was a hybrid that the ear would always cannibalize the stalk. And in commercial fields and in controls, it just would lodge. It wasn't a very good hybrid. But when you had plenty of light for the solar quarter, the plants stood perfectly. And I think people in this room can have their explanations why that occurs, but I think it's logical. But the preliminary results indicate the need for subsequent research on this model if someone in organic crop production would want to use it. Now, and if there's anyone in the audience with organic, I think it'd be a good discussion we could have later. I'd like your input on this. But, and if I knew how to control the weeds, we would greatly increase the yield if we'd have a twin row every 60 inches instead of a single row. But anyway, that is the basis, the basics that I had, and I don't know what my time schedule is, but how am I doing on time?
6 minutes left.
Oh, great. Okay, great. Okay. All right. Let me go back here. Well, let's see. Okay, I'll go. This slide says that, of course, there is a little. We have a little problem. How do you harvest a system like that? And of course, Mitsubishi said I could use their slide for a machine that will do that. But that might not be the most practical thing to the most practical way of handling a cropping system like this. But anyway, it's. We need to develop some suitable equipment for that. But there is a study going on. One class at a nearby university is working on a system of how to harvest the wheat crop that I didn't discuss much in this for making this really a very complete system. But this data, we had this. This was very hard to believe. That for 3 years, I went out in the field, did preliminary screening trials, and got this kind of result with hybrid D. And you know, most people in the right minds, you know, really wouldn't think that you'd get a result like we got there with hybrid D. But we did, and we. Repeated that many times, and in fact, that it is some hybrids really do make use of all the chloroplasts in that field if they have a different architecture for light. And so, with that, I will conclude my presentation. Hope there's some questions later. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Charles. Sure, we have time for a quick question.
No, sir. I didn't intend to say there's 3 years of data. I said I ran preliminary screening trials for 3 years prior to doing this study, prior to taking the results to anyone, because who would believe results like that? I mean, as in East Central Illinois. On the Elliott Ashcombe soil at 40 degrees north latitude. Yeah, this was only one site. All of my other studies been with twin rows. But this single row that I thought maybe for organic production, if we could control the weeds in a single row where we couldn't control in a twin row, that's why I use this data. The twin row data, of course, the yield levels are higher than that, but I just had one site that was analyzed on the single row for this system.